Hi. Gay is not sin. But Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Rise and be healed. Did you know Jesus heals today? Dramatically? Instantly? The Bible's full of it, you know. It tells you. You can receive gifts of healing, so you can go out and lay hands on people. The first type of step you have to do is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He died on the cross for your sin. And you believe that, understanding that He first loved you and that you're a sinner. But when you believe this and accept this, He comes into your life. Now you can get more by asking Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. This results usually in the initial evidence of speaking in a different language that you never learned and you don't understand. And maybe most everybody around you don't understand it, but maybe there's somebody that does understand it because you happen to be speaking their language so they can tell you what you're saying. It's kind of wonderful about Jesus, you know, when you come to know Him and you fall in love with Him and you see how wonderful it is. It's kind of interesting to hear people want proof. This is the irony of it. If you really, truly want proof, there's only really one way to get proof about Jesus Christ being real. And that is you have to first, by faith, by just believing that He's the Son of God, that God rose Him on the third day. You know, it's this faith. It's so easy to believe in evolution, isn't it? There's almost no evidence, almost no information. We take a little tiny piece of pottery and we can make a full-length feature movie on the cavemen that made it and how they lived and how they cooked their food and all kinds of stuff out of this little tiny chunk of quarter-inch pottery we found in a cave someplace. And we believe all this kind of stuff. How do we get to believe it? We need more time. We tack on a million years. It's easy to believe in evolution. You got all the time in existence. Add a million years here. You can add a billion years. It's no biggie. If you miss 150, you say, hey, we're just missing it. We just add another million years to figure out what that 150 million years that we can't figure out is. You know, it's this thing called evolution takes more faith than any religion does. But it still is that many of you would just simply say that you want some sort of proof. Well, you can get all the proof you want by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and reading the Bible so you learn about Jesus Christ. Because if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have to know something about Him. So the first step is simple. You just believe that God sent His only Son to die on the cross because He first loved you. You recognize you're a sinner. It's pretty easy for us to recognize we're a sinner. And Jesus paid the price for it, so you don't have to pay the price. The price is eternal death. But His gift is free. By believing on Him, He gives the gift of eternal life. Now this has to be by faith. You have to believe this. There's no trick. You just have to believe it. And accept Jesus. And mean it with all your heart. And be willing to tell anybody that now you believe in Jesus. Because this creates in you the first miracle. You get born again. Sometimes it's dramatic. Sometimes you can't control the tears because I'm in happiness and joy. And you know, and you can get forgiven and God's love comes upon you and you just feel all this love. You can't even understand what it all means. So you're actually getting your first set of proof that Jesus is real. Now, sometimes you want to associate this to mass hallucination or some other kind. You know, your mind can produce all kinds of stuff. We see fantastic dreams and everything. So we have all ways to explain how come this person or that person says they believe. because we don't want to believe. We want to have some sort of proof. But you're not going to get proof until you come to Jesus Christ. And you can't do it as a scientific experiment and say, I'm going to come to Christ by praying that prayer, and then I'm going to see the proof. It comes back to, you got to believe it. You got to mean it when you pray something like, God, I believe that Jesus is your only son, and he died for my sins. When you rose him on the third day, forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. You have to really mean that. You have to really recognize you're a sinner. This isn't any kind of game to have eternity with Jesus Christ. He first loved you. The stakes are high here. The faith in believing in Jesus Christ is a real thing that you have to have. Not some experimentation. Now, Jesus is kind of remarkable. He can understand you. You know, if you're really seeking truth and everything, and part of the thing that you're thinking is, hey, you know, if you're real, you know, you're going to accept him. You're not saying, prove to me you're real, because you ain't going to get the proof. But if you say, if you are real, then you're in trouble because he is real. And so you're going to accept him because you said you would accept him if he's real. And he is real. So you already got to, if you at least at the point where you could say, if you're real, I'll accept you with no conditions, you know. Then God will do stuff to get you to that place of where you're in by faith believing. Because he not ever show you proof. It's going to be you coming before him in the faith believing. You could pray that simple prayer just as we speak right now. God, I believe that Jesus is your only son, that you sent him because you first loved us, that he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and save me. A simple prayer is going to get you saved. And like I said, you might have the initial set of proofs because of the overwhelming thing that happens to your body when it gets born again. And Jesus is actually letting you feel his love. Sometimes you don't feel a thing. Doesn't matter here because you're working on faith. Now you need to start to learn about Jesus, and that is reading the Bible. The King James Bible, don't read any other ones. They're Satan counterfeits. I know what I'm talking about here. Look up Westcott and Horton. You get an idea of why I say that all modern versions are Satan counterfeits. So stick to the King James Version, people. You know, get used to the these and thous. Learn about Jesus. I would start with the book of John. And then read the whole Bible. I would read the New Testament first, then go to the Old Testament, because the Old Testament doesn't pass away, and it's a good history lesson, and lots more than just a history book. It becomes, when you are born again, the living Word. Not by the name of the Bible called the living Word, but it is, the Word is alive. The Bible is just nothing but a dead book. You read it like any other book, has no effect on anybody, but when you're born again, it's alive. It becomes living because the Word is living. Jesus became flesh. The Word in the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh. And so then Jesus Christ is now in you and you're born again and you did all this by faith. Now some interesting things begin to happen because you can pray and ask God for things. And if you ask God, Jesus, to baptize your Holy Spirit, you find you can speak in another language. And you might actually be able to lay hands on people and they get healed. You know, a whole bunch of things happen when you accept Jesus. And you are still a person and you still have free will. You can choose whatever you want. It's a good idea to find a church that believes in Jesus. It's getting more hard to find a church that uses the King James Version or have any idea who Westcott and Hort is. And so many churches are involved with 33rd degree Mason leadership that you're already in a false kind of church, even though it has a very credible name. And good portion of the people truly believe. They're just having to hear the mix in of Antichrist message that is done in such a way that at that time that other deceptions come in, you will be likely to be deceived into believing Antichrist might be Jesus after all. So, as a Christian, you got to stand fast, hold fast, and persevere to the end. You got to keep your eyes open. You got to be careful. The enemy wants to trick you. And there's lots of ways to trick you. But we're not going to get into that. We're just going to say that now you're saved. And now you can ask Jesus. And now you can get proof that Jesus Christ is real. You could talk to him. You may not hear him talking back to you, but you could talk to him. He's there, just like he's standing right next to you. So you could talk to him just like he's your mom or your dad, your brother, your friend or something like that. He's right there. You could talk to him. And you kind of feel that he's listening there because you kind of feel he's there. Kind of neat, you know. And if you don't feel so much at the beginning, why are you worrying about that? You're at the beginning of a new life. And you can begin to ask Jesus. You can ask God in Jesus' name. Now you've got this interesting factor involved because you're now a Christian. You can ask in Jesus' name. If you're not a Christian and you ask in Jesus' name, you know, it's just like one of the verses says that, hey, you know, I know Paul there, and I know Peter, and I know Jesus, but I don't know who you are. You know you're asking in Jesus' name. But once you're a Christian, hey, you got just the same cloud as Paul has, same cloud as Peter and any of the apostles, the same cloud as Jesus has. Because Jesus is going to answer your prayer. Jesus is your backup. You're going to speak and Jesus is going to be there for you. Now, you can always be greedy. You can always ask the wrong thing and so forth. And we got 2,000 years that have gone by. We know that there is so much that has happened in these past couple of thousand years that doesn't seem like Jesus is answering. He's not healing. He's not helping people. People are dying. Innocents are being cruelly treated. And oh, it's just a mess out there. And then we look today and it seems like it's full of hypocrites and every single thing else. This is real life out here. And real life is saying, you don't always get healed. You don't always get answered prayer. But you now can ask something you couldn't do before. And so you get more answers than you can imagine. In spite of all the appearance of not too many answers out there. So you ask Jesus for things. If you're sick, and again, take this literally. You could point your hand towards the TV screen there. Put your hand on the area. The other hand on the area that is hurting. And say, be healed in Jesus' name. Receive your healing right now. You might get instantly healed. Instant is kind of a misnomer because your physical body changes from sick to well. And this isn't something that you blink and it's done. You see, the cells have to do something different. And so what you will feel is a physical feeling of something going on inside your body that's pretty dramatic. Often you feel the love of God. My God, the love of God is so fantastic, so wonderful. Tears will flow like crazy. Because you feel the love of God doesn't mean you're healed. It means that God is just showing you his love. But you will begin to feel something going on in your body. It could take a couple of seconds. It could take a minute or so. Maybe a little bit longer. Other things might take some days. Other things, you get the problem healed, but now your body is in charge. Because, you know, people want to, you get a little cut. Heal my cut. You want to be like these sci-fi movies where they spray something on there and you watch the cut turn to normal skin with no scar. We don't have that kind of stuff going on, you know. Jesus can do an awful lot of stuff. And he can do that. But, you know, give him some credit. He made your body able to heal, so you're probably likely to get healed under the normal circumstances your body can get healed. you got to take into account a lot of things. The world doesn't go away because you're a Christian. But what happens often is that whatever the problem is, you're really sick with a virus or a bacteria, they wither away, die, something. You know, I don't got a microscope. I don't know what's happened. People got a lot of ideas. Who cares? What happens is whatever it was that was causing the sickness is gone. Now your body's left. Well, it doesn't magically be raring to go. Give me a mountain to hike. Give me a mountain to climb. Give me a huge field to pull all the weeds out. And give me, hey, you know, I want to clean up this aisle over here and downpack all this kind of stuff. And you know, I'm going to go out skiing. And all, you know, your body is still in a weakened condition, but it has nothing in its way. So it's going to begin to grow back to health, as it were, because there's nothing stopping it now. And God gave you that. It's automatic, you know. It's already a fact. It's already proof. God built it into the bodies to heal themselves. And he gives a helping hand at times. You might get healed right now as we speak. You might get healed tomorrow. You might get healed because you're screaming and hollering to God like David. You remember David? David sat there and he cried for his baby. You know, the whole story. He saw Uriah's wife, did the thing, got her pregnant, called Uriah back, said, hey, go have fun. She said, no, all my buddies are out there fighting. I'm not going to have fun. And so then he went and told the sergeant, you know, hey, put Uriah in the front so he gets killed. So he put Uriah in the front. Uriah gets killed. Now he's free. He can marry Uriah's wife because he got her pregnant. Well, anyway, her baby got sick. And David was crying up a storm. And we can argue all the kinds of points, you know, but he kind of, you know, had somebody else's wife. What are you sick, man? Samson or whoever came over to him and, Simon, whatever, one of those prophets came over to him and said, naughty boy, you went and did this and that and the other thing. God knows all this kind of stuff. David's all sorry about the whole kind of situation, but the baby's sick and he's crying. Oh, he's weeping and earnestly seeking that God save the baby. Well, the baby died. And he got up, cleaned up, went out, going to work, and his servant said, what's the matter? Your baby just died? Well, while he was yet sick, but alive, there was hope that God would heal the baby. But God took the baby, so there's no more use. The baby's gone. In heaven already. The done deal. Now we got to pick up and go back to our life. You don't know if it's going to be today, and you don't know how much crying you have to do to the Lord. And the Lord might not even heal you, but he might. This is not something like Moses. You know, we have this problem here. We just ask once, you know, he hit the rock once to get the water to come out, but he hit it twice. So he couldn't see the promised land now, but except from a mountain looking over. Because, you know, he was a naughty boy. He hit that rock twice. And so God wouldn't let him go into the promised land. This isn't this kind of situation. This is your body. It's sick. Your friend, your spouse, your children, whatever, they're sick. Your car is broken. You need to do something. And so it's yours. Not mine. Not the neighbors. It's yours. You got to deal with this thing. It's concerned to you. You're going to have to cry to the Lord. Now, you might be surprised. It might happen like that. You know, you were getting ready for a long battle with the Lord, but God heals you right then. And you might have to fight a long battle, and you might not get anything of it. So, the lesson that God often, for reasons we don't know, don't heal people. And we don't need to sit around and guess at why. What part of our life do we got to straighten up? What sins are we committing and everything that God isn't answering? Hey, our sins are forgiven. Satan goes to accuse us before God, and God looks at us, and he sees Jesus. He says, what sin? I see Jesus. Jesus is pure. I mean, you know you're a sinner, but God can't see that. He'll help you because you can tell him, you know, I'm this kind of bad person. What am I going to do about it? And maybe you're not that bad, because, but everybody's telling you it's bad. And so you believe in everybody but God. You know, God's not doing the accusing. He's still with you. He loves you. He's not forsaking you. So we don't know almost all the time why something's not happening. But you can be healed. And it can happen instantly. And you can see some dramatic things. Want proof? Be a Christian. One healing I had, I was deathly sick with food poisoning. You know, I thought I was being nice. I saw in the window and it was 10 degrees outside, so I figured that's a good refrigerator. And in the windowsill was these hot dogs, these franks or whatever you want to call them, uncooked. And there's green stuff all over it and everything. I figured, you know, like potatoes or other things, you could cut it out. Bread, you could cut that mold out and everything. And there's no problem if you really wanted to try to save what's left. Cut out the green little spots in the meat. Hey, wrong. Wrong. No. Don't cut the green stuff. Just throw it away. So fry it up good. Good. You know, I like a nice burnt hot dogs anyway. Cook it up good. Kill all that poison. No. Green's not a good sign in meat, people. But you know, my choice was eating intestines. I was on the Indian reservation. I wasn't into eating intestines, and that's what the meal was that night. So I said, hey, does it make me a hot dog? If I see some there, cut out the green. Bad decision. They warned me. Bad decision. I said, hey, no problem, you know. Butch, strong guy here, you know. Cook the hot dog. They cooked it. Ate it. No. I'm an hour from the nearest hospital. Food poisoning. Never in all the days of my life had I ever been so sick from that day to this day or before that day. It was 10 degrees, 10 inches of snow. It was cold. Little outhouse out there, you know, no door on it, facing these hills. You know, and the house is back there 400 yards or so. Out here in the cold. But dying, you know that feeling. It ain't nice. And so it's like, God, heal me, we'll praise your name, even though, you know, in spite of the pain and everything, praise you. And then all of a sudden, I saw the Holy Spirit from the north, the top of mountain range, flowing out. I could see this. There's no question about this. Very obvious. I wasn't delusional or anything like that. I could see this coming out. It's going on right at the top of this small mountain range here, 1,000 feet high maybe. Maybe not quite that high. We went over. It's only about a three-quarter of a mile away. We went over and hiked up the mountain that was pronounced. Got the name of the city in rocks, white rocks, on the top of that mountain. And it got over to that mountain that had the name on it. And it poured down. You could see it flowing this way and then pouring down. And as soon as it got to my light, my head height, I could feel it. And all of a sudden, I just bursted out in tears. The love of God, that's all I could feel. Just my body's radiating and everything. And this lasted up 2 or 3 minutes. I don't know exactly how long. And then when it's done, it's just so nice. I mean, I was still kind of sick, but there was no... It was over. It was just a matter of... You know, you need the day to your body to process back to normal. Healing can be dramatic and wonderful. And it may not be you feel anything. Your cars can get healed. Your dogs can get healed. It's amazing. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. A simple prayer gets you saved. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And if you're sick, right now, put the hand on the area of sickness. Put your hand towards the screen. In the name of Jesus, be healed. See you next week.